Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're trying to navigate the really complex geopolitical situation around Israel. We've got a lot of source material here, and our goal really is to unpack this whole web of international support, regional opposition, and the pressure shaping things.
Yeah.
Think of this as your shortcut to understanding what's actually driving the situation. Let's get into it.
Absolutely. And what's fascinating is just how dynamic it all is. Things are constantly shifting, sometimes in contradictory ways. Let's maybe start with Israel's support system, because while it's strong in some ways, it's also facing some pretty significant changes.
Okay. Yeah. So the U.S. obviously comes up first. Just how dominant is that support, really? Now, are there nuances we should, be aware of?
That's definitely the place to start. The U.S. is undeniably the primary backer. I mean, something like 69% of Israel's major conventional arms imports between 2019 and 2023 came from the U.S. Huge number. But, and this is crucial, outside the U.S., public opinion is really shifting. There was a YouGov poll, I think May 2025, showing less than a fifth of people in big European countries, UK, France, Germany, had a favorable view. Sympathy was actually leaning more towards the Palestinians.
Wow, less than a fifth. Yeah. So is this just a blip related to current events, or is it something more fundamental?
That's the key question, right? And it looks more fundamental. This isn't isolated. It points towards a critical generational divide. Younger people in high-income countries, the U.S. included, increasingly view Israel negatively. You see it starkly with young U.S. evangelicals. Their support dropped from 75% in 2018 to just 34% in 2021. Access to uncensored footage is cited as one factor there.
75 down to 34, that's a massive ideological shift. That could really change things long-term.
It really could. And you see reflections in government actions, too, though it's mixed. Germany, for example, is maintaining strong ties. But then you have Italy reviewing arms sales because of conflict laws. The UK, France, Canada, they've actually halted some weapon supplies, even threatened sanctions.
Okay, so some traditional support is maybe wavering or becoming more conditional. But are any new, perhaps surprising alignments popping up?
That's a great point because, yes, sort of under the radar, there's this interesting, very pragmatic development, covert regional security cooperation. We know about a secret meeting, June 2024, in Bahrain. It involved Israeli, U.S., and top generals from Bahrain, Egypt, UAE, Jordan, and Saudi Arabia.
Really? What were they focused on?
Deterring Iran. Purely that. It's being called an Arab-Israeli alliance, but it's driven entirely by that shared threat from Iran. It's not about broader support for other Israeli policies at all. Very practical.
Okay, interesting. So that's the support side, shifting and complex. What about the opposition? How does that balance out?
Well, you have Iran leading what's called the Axis of Resistance. It's pretty resilient. This includes groups like Hezbollah, although some reports describe them as effectively neutralized by recent Israeli actions. Historically, Iran's provided major funding, training, weapons, often via Syria. Then there are Iraq's popular mobilization forces, the Houthi militants in Yemen, and of course, Hamas.
And Iran isn't operating in a vacuum here, right? They have backers too.
Exactly. Russia is a key partner, top weapon supplier. They have a comprehensive strategic partnership. China gives strong rhetorical support, though seems less interested in direct military involvement. Pakistan also offers unwavering solidarity.
So alongside this axis, what's the broader international reaction specifically to Israel's military actions?
It's been widespread condemnation, really. You've had UN experts unequivocally condemning attacks on Iran as a flagrant violation of international law, a blatant act of oppression. They called for arms supplies to stop. And the International Court of Justice, the ICJ, called for Israel to halt the Rafah offensive back in May 2024.
And that's translating into diplomatic actions, too, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
We're seeing countries recognizing Palestinian statehood.
Yes. Growing isolation. Spain, Ireland, Norway recognize Palestine. France is planning to. Others have cut ties or called ambassadors. It's a definite trend.
So when you put all this together, the shifting support, the axis, the international condemnation, what does it tell us about the kind of the overall balance or asymmetry?
It really highlights a pronounced asymmetry. Israel's operations are, critically dependent on the U.S., especially militarily. Its opponents, on the other hand, leverage a more dispersed, maybe more resilient network. It's also worth noting that even U.S. support isn't totally solid. There's that internal divergence, the so-called MAGA split tension between America First non-interventionists, like maybe a Steve Bannon or Tucker Carlson, and the more traditional pro-Israel camp.
Right. So even U.S. support isn't monolithic. Given all this volatility, what's the risk of things escalating further, and how should we understand this idea of intervention?
The risk of wider regional war is definitely high. The UN's warned about a fire that no one can control. Israel's use of preemptive strikes could easily escalate things, creating a sort of self-perpetuating cycle. And importantly, when we look at the research, there's no evidence of a conventional military occupation of Israel. Mm-hmm. Instead, intervention seems to be taking the form of increasing diplomatic isolation, legal challenges, economic pressure. It stems largely from international condemnation of Israel's actions as an occupying power in Palestinian territories.
Okay, that distinction is important.
Yeah. So summing it up, it's a landscape of really complex, often contradictory forces. Israel's concentrated support, mainly the U.S., looks increasingly vulnerable to shifts in public opinion and politics. Meanwhile, its adversaries use a dispersed but persistent network. And the whole nature of intervention is shifting away from military possibilities towards diplomatic and legal pressure, which might actually be more impactful in the long run.
It definitely leaves you thinking. As public opinion keeps shifting, as political dynamics inside allies like the U.S. evolve, how is Israel's own strategic thinking going to be forced to adapt? And what does all that mean for stability across the Middle East in the years ahead? Definitely something to chew on.